Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The regional round of the LHSAA High School Football Playoffs are here, and this week, three teams that had made their way into the regional round kicked out by the LHSAA. University High eliminated by virtue of a judge's decision, throwing out U High's request for an injunction to keep them in the playoffs after the LHSAA ruled they had played an ineligible player earlier in the season. We'll get to that a little bit later on, but we start with the story involving a team out of Northeast Louisiana. Faraday, who on the scoreboard beat Lake Arthur 30-7 last week, ousted from the tournament as a result of a brawl that happened during the game. Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law scoreboard show joins us. And Gene, it's a shame to see Faraday get knocked out of the tournament under these circumstances. This is a team that had everything going for it. You had a town that was rallying around this team, a town that needed something positive to go their way, and then this happens. I know there's some rumors that were circulating online, but from what you were telling me earlier, the rumors that circulated on Facebook after the decision came out, those were not true.
Yeah, it wasn't as far as having an ineligible player, but let me change this for you real quick too, Ian. That ball game, the score 30-7, that was only the final score because they called the ball game with 2:49 left in the first half. That's when the incident went down. Lake Arthur coach came out there, talked to the referees and opposing coach, said, hey, we're not dealing with this, we're out. So, man, they called it right then and forfeited their side, or basically said, hey, give them the W. So that thing could have been held 60-14 before it was all said and done. But you're right, the fight broke out, and, well, they got a double forfeit on the deal, and Lake Arthur will live to see another day.
Lake Arthur
might. Crazy deal.
It is, and Lake Arthur may live to fight another day, but when you watch the video, it's clear as day that a Lake Arthur player threw a haymaker at a running back who was out of bounds, and that's what caused the fight to ensue. We don't know what penalties
that's
Lake
right.
Arthur will face next year, but Faraday has to face their consequence now, and they're out of the tournament. They're done, and that leaves Welsh to advance to the regional round of the D4 state championship tournament. But for Faraday, for this team that played so well throughout the season, for this will be how they're remembered. And that's a shame because this team is so much better than that one incident.
Well, you're absolutely right. But let me add this, too. The reason I think they were kicked out was not because this was a first offense. This was actually their second. They were on probation. The high school was already for a previous ball. And I don't think it's any secret that back in the beginning of the year at the convention for the LHSAA, man, they made it a point. They were sticking with and being a lot stricter on this, you know, the penalties that go with personal fouls in a ball game. And, you know, they stuck with it. And, you know, it's unfortunate. Obviously, you're sitting on the bench, as is on the case with Trojans. But, you know, two fights, somebody's got to get control of it.
And to give the LHSAA and Eddie Bonine credit, they said early in the year at the principal's convention they were going to be sticklers for sportsmanship rules. At the beginning of the academic year, they sent an email to the schools and to the media saying that this will not be tolerated, and they're living up to their word. So kudos to the LHSAA, Commissioner Eddie Bonine, and everybody else there for sticking to their word and to make sure that sportsmanship prevails in high school athletics in the state of Louisiana.
Yeah, now there are a lot of people maybe not like the way Eddie kind of runs his ship, but I'm not one of them. I mean, he's given a lot more backbone to that organization they've had in years and years, and, you know, good for him.
On a much more positive note, in Division I non-select, it seems as if half the teams are from Northeast Louisiana. You have West Monroe traveling to Mandeville this week. West Ouachita is going to Central. The number one seed Neville is hosting Covington. Number three seed Ruston hosting number 14 Zachary in a rematch of last year's state championship game. So you have a ton of teams in this bracket, all of them powers in the district this year, and now they all have to fight for spots in the quarterfinals. Ruston Zachary is not going to be a cakewalk for the Bearcats. West Ouachita is going to give Central a run for their money. West Monroe will give Mandeville all they can handle. And Covington, they're going to give Neville a fight. Don't let that 16 seed fool you. So for these teams that have played so well and have been so good, nothing's going to come easy for them as they try to make their run to the Superdome.
Well, and it shouldn't, Ian. I mean, once you get to the playoffs, I mean, you know, the cream always rises to the top. But I feel very secure in saying Neville and Ruston are going to be will be practicing at Thanksgiving. I'm not sure. Obviously, the biggest challenge is going to be West Ouachita, despite winning their fourth playoff game ever this past week over Denham Springs in a ball game that took overtime. They're a good football team, but they just don't have it, I don't think, the firepower to stay with the Wildcats. But hey, they're a good football team. Luke Jones is a linebacker for those guys. He had 19 tackles the other night in that ball game, including a sack and a pass breakup. So anyway, they're a good football team, but they'll have their plate full. West Ouachita, you and I talked a little bit about their matchup with Mandeville, a team that may not have the overall size that a team, say, a Covington would have, or a Zachary, as you kind of play these teams. But, hey, look, West Monroe is not the top seed in any case. They're the 21 seed in this deal, and they're playing, obviously, a very good, strong Mandeville squad that I think is fifth. So, I mean, you got to give the advantage to the skippers who are sitting at home.
The one thing that's going to help West Monroe here is they're used to playing in front of rowdy crowds. They're used to big-time environments, and that's what they're going to face at Mandeville. They're going to see the flashing lights. They're going to hear the train horn. They're going to look up and see a huge crowd at Mandeville. That's what that community brings to the table. But for West Monroe, that's not going to faze them because they're used to it at their home stadium as well.
Yeah, it's not going to phase them one bit. I mean, when you go to Ruston and Neville and schools like that, and you put 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 folks in a ball game, you can bring any horn you want. But look, at the end of the day, too, I mean, if you've been on the football field, and I played it in high school and college, you know, a lot of that outside noise sometimes, man, you just got to filter it out, and it comes down to, you know, blocking and running and passing and catching and not turning the ball over, and that's what's going to win the football game on Friday night.
Looking at the smaller schools, have to give credit where credit's due to Darboin Woods. They won their very first postseason game in school history last week to get to the second round of the Division III Select Championships. They'll take on number two Isidore Newman this week. It'll be a tall task for them, but you look at the schools in the Farmerville area, and they're looking good right now. We mentioned Darboin Woods. Union Parish gets Red River this week, and Sterlington, they get Lakeside. You look at the small schools from the Monroe area, and you guys are well represented in those brackets as well.
Yeah, I think so too. Ian, Sterlington, man, they won 63-12 in their ball game the other night against Patterson. They rushed the ball for 503 yards on 42 carries, which is just dominating of the clock. So I like the Panthers' chances of moving into quarterfinal play. Union Parish, you just made mention the same thing. The Braxton Patterson kid really had a great ball game. Passed for 151 yards and a few touchdowns. Had another one on the ground. They just blew by Oakdale in their game. They'll be in good shape, I think, against Red River, with all due respect to those cats. So, and then, like I said, Sterlington is strong as they are. Union is strong. And Darboin, I'm not sure. They could bring a couple of high schools. I don't think they're going to be able to hang with Newman.
General Trask is at North Iberville, Division 4 non-select and Division 4 select. You have Ouachita Christian at Catholic Point compete. What can we expect from those two games this week?
Well, Ouachita Christian, I think, is just kind of finding their groove. You know, they got spanked in the last game of the year by Oak Grove. You and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But look, I think they got their game back this past week against Glenbrook. They've got the junior quarterback, Luke Redrine, who threw for three touchdowns. The Leonard kid, I think, ran for three more. But look, they were playing a good Catholic PC team, and Point Coupee is always a good challenge no matter when you face them. But the fact that they're in Monroe, I think the Eagles are in a pretty good spot.
I know we've covered a lot of the teams in the area, but are there any other games that we've not hit that we should be paying attention to this week?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how Wasserman does. You know, they've struggled through the better part of the season. They went on the road and knocked off Minden, which was a 12 seed, and they did it with defense. I mean, holding those cats to 11 is pretty impressive. But they go down to number 5, Iowa. Ironically, a team they played earlier this year. Now, they got beat by 3 touchdowns, but Wasserman didn't have 4 or 5 guys that they have today. So it will be fun to see how Coach Cahey does with his Wildcats as they head down into that Lake Charles region.
Gene Ponte from the K104 Downs Law Scoreboard Show joining us. Gene, as always, we appreciate the time. And for the first time in a while, I'll get to see you in person. You'll be at Mandeville this Friday night as West Monroe comes to town.
You and I are both living right.
Yes, indeed. We'll see you then, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right. See you Friday night, man.
Meanwhile, in the Baton Rouge area, another team who had planned to play this week will instead be sidelined after a judge upheld the LHSAA's decision to remove them from the playoffs. Nearly 2 weeks ago, University High filed for a preliminary injunction to prevent the LHSAA from forcing the school to forfeit several games, reportedly because U High inserted an ineligible player in several games. The resulting forfeits brought U High's final regular season record to 2-8 and dragged their power ranking below the threshold to qualify the team for the playoffs. The LHSAA held up its decision after U High filed for that injunction and placed U High in the Division II Select Tournament as the 2 seed, based on what the power rankings would have been before the forfeits. But on Monday, a Baton Rouge judge dismissed the request for that injunction, allowing the LHSAA to enforce the forfeits and remove U High from the playoffs. In a statement, LHSAA officials said, quote, "The LHSAA is disappointed that the violation occurred and even more disappointed that the violation affected student-athletes in this state. Nevertheless, the LHSAA is committed to enforcing its rules and carrying out the wishes of the member schools," end quote. With this saga now over, we can now focus on the matches involving Capital Region schools that are actually going to take place. Robin Fambro joins us from The Advocate. And Robin, several big matchups this week on the regional schedule for the Baton Rouge area. Let's start with the rematch from last year's Division I non-select state title game, Zachary Ruston. It's a shame that we get to see these two teams meet in the regional round instead of later on, but this may be one of the top games that we see, not just in the Capital Region, but across the state this week.
Well, it's going to be, one of the more intriguing matchups. I think Zachary for sure is a much different team than the one that played in the championship game last year. That's been noted. I'm not saying take a step back. It's just a different group. You only have like 2 or 3 starters who are back on defense. And, last year you had Tredez Green and some high-profile guys. They have 2 guys on the roster that have scholarship offers. So this is more of a blue-collar group, and I think Ruston returns definitely more star power and obviously a lot of confidence after last year, although they have dropped a couple of games. Now, the thing that's going to be interesting will be to see how well the Zachary line can block and open holes. He doesn't need much of an opening, but DeVecchio Ruffin, the 5'5" running back for Zachary, has scored 12 touchdowns in the last 2 games. He's had over 300 yards rushing in each of the last 2 games. So that'll be worth watching just to see how that goes.
On the Division I select side, Catholic Baton Rouge faces East Jeff this week. Catholic has a path to get to the Superdome, but that path is going to hit a major hurdle when they get to the semifinals. Assuming everything goes chalk, Catholic would meet up with Edna Carr. So the path to the Superdome for Catholic it's doable, but it has its challenges in front of it. For Hudson Fuller and crew, what do they have to do to make sure they get to the Superdome?
Well, they just have to focus on every week, and this path is not new. They've gone through Carr before. This is not new. They beat Carr a couple of years ago and wound up, losing to Curtis in the semis. That was a quarterfinal game that year. So you know, it's not something that they haven't done. They just have to pay attention to each step along the way. Meanwhile, in East Jeff, you're talking about a team that won their first playoff game in a decade. I think, have some momentum. There's a little bit of a local tie there. Brian Glover, the coach at East Jeff, is from the New Roads area, went to Boynt Coupee Central, and actually coached locally at Thrive Academy before he moved further down toward New Orleans. I think he already kind of lived there anyway. He coached at Grace King, and then when Grace King closed, moved to East Jeff.
Meanwhile, Dunham is in action this week. They had a first-round bye last week. They'll take on Parkview this week. This is a Dunham squad that that this year has impressed. Had a chance to see them early on in the season at St. Charles, and they were phenomenal. They know how to win close games, but they also know how to blow opponents out of the water. Parkview is a team that's no pushover. So for Dunham, what's it going to take for them to beat Parkview? And conversely, what does Parkview have to do to beat Dunham?
Well, now you know this is not new.
Right.
They played last year in this round, and Parkview beat them. And they also played in the season opener, and Dunham shut Parkview out 46-0. Now, that was a totally revamped offense. Well, not totally, but a much revamped offense and a lot of different starters on both sides, more on offense than defense. So, basically, Parkview has grown greatly through the year. You've seen the progress each week. I mean, they obviously had their titanic challenges in district. This is one of those weird cases where Parkview's a 3A team, and they played U High and Madison Prep, which means that they've played high-powered challenges before. And Dunham, of course, is a 2A team, also playing in Division III. The two teams kind of are tied together proximity-wise, not that necessarily that far apart in South Baton Rouge. So, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think, especially with Elijah Haven at quarterback for Dunham, he's a year older. He's physically bigger and stronger. The field conditions last year were kind of rough. It had rained a lot that week I believe leading up to the Dunham Parkview game. It wasn't as good as it could have been, and it'll be interesting to see how they match up this time, because again, this is a different Parkview team. They graduated a lot of guys, but they found their way. Dunham, like you said, is impressed all along the way. So I think it's intriguing. They know each other, and I guess we'll see the kind of like getting a almost an end-of-the-year progress report on where you were from the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
Dunham's district rival Episcopal gets Pope John Paul II in the other half of the bracket. JP2 coming in from the Slidell area. Episcopal, they're the 6th seed. John Paul II, the 11th seed. What can we expect from that game?
I think that one's going to be pretty evenly matched. I really do. I'm kind of curious to see how that shakes out. Episcopal, you know, they are who they are. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play solid defense. And that's who they are. They hang your hat on it, and every year they're very successful. Sometimes you look at it and say, are they really going to be able to do that? And they do it every year. So I'm curious to see how this one comes out.
We've talked about North Iberville a few times throughout the season. They've reactivated their football squad for the first time in a few years this season. They get their first playoff win since resuming varsity play, 44-6 over Oberlin. They get General Trask this week. North Iberville will host that matchup. For this program, to see them progress and to not only resume varsity play, but to win a playoff game and to be a 5 seed, I'd imagine that that's something that community's rallying around.
Oh, very much so. As I had an email about it over the weekend, and it's been going on during the year, but somebody talking to me about how it's kind of rejuvenated the community, because the school remained in place, but it was an elementary school. And I think they had some middle school grades. Then a few years ago, they decided to go on ahead and add the, I think it's a STEAM equivalent or programs to build it back up, and they did it very intentionally, very cautious, very deliberately to add the grades and add what they needed to make it work. And, that area has always been talent rich, always been talent rich. Todd Harris, who played at LSU from Plaquemine, because when North Iberville closed, the players from there went to Plaquemine High. There's a lot of athletes from that area that you can track who have been successful. So, and they have a great young group, especially their sophomore class. They also have some talented freshmen. They have a few upperclassmen, not very many, just because of the way the school's done. But, you know, they've got a quarterback who's passed for over 1,600 yards. They've got a 1,000-yard rusher. They've got all the components. Now, General Trask, by comparison, is a little more playoff seasoned, obviously. They've had some success in recent years. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. And it's kind of cool for them because, like I say, they've seen a progression of fans coming to games and everything. A game where they played Livonia early in the season, their coach, Josh Gass, told me, I think they kind of underestimated that because on the other side, that's Livonia is the area that's the closest. And that was always a rivalry before. And for whatever reason, everybody from both communities showed up for the game. And it was really a lot, especially a lot for the facility that they have. But it wound up being a great atmosphere, a great game, and North Iberville won. And the cool part about it is for them, Iberville Parish recently announced plans where they will have a new stadium on the same site, track, new lighting, and they're going to build them a field house. So I think the sky is the limit for those guys. And if they can get past this one, if they can get to the quarterfinals this year, I think that would be huge. But, you know, you never put any limits on anybody, but this is going to be a big test for them.
It certainly will be, but still a great story nonetheless. Lastly, any surprises that you think we might see this week in the regional round from some of the Baton Rouge teams?
You know, it's kind of hard to say. You never really know where that's going to come from. I thought, you know, last week, Santa was in a good position, but I also knew they had a tough challenge with Westgate. Obviously didn't get past that. Walker beat Dutchtown again, which is – maybe something not a lot of people anticipated, but there were some things that factored into that, some injuries for Dutchtown. You just never know what you're going to get on a given week. And it's just going to be interesting to see because now we're playing teams, or most of our teams are playing teams they don't know. You don't necessarily know what the physical matchup's going to be. You're guessing it based on what you're seeing on film. But I've had people tell me time and time again when they've gone out to games, they were like, well, son of a gun. This is what we saw on film, but then when we actually got into the game, we saw this, this, and this. And they made adjustments and they won the game.
So still a lot of variables before we can pick upsets or anything like that this week in the playoffs. But the one thing with high school football in Louisiana is nothing is ever for sure. You have to go to the game, have to see it happen. And
absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That's why we play the game.
For years I had a photographer who used to ask me in advance, who's going to win? And sometimes you do shoot games where it's probably going to be lopsided, and I think that was part of the reason I used to get the question, and I would say, well, you know, if we knew who was going to win, why would we be here?
Amen to that. That's what makes it so exciting, is because you never know which one of these teams that's in the lower half of the bracket, or I should say the lower half of the seeds, could wind up making a run and possibly end up in the Superdome. And we'll find out who goes on to the quarterfinals after this week's regional round. Robin Fambro from The Advocate joining us. Robin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
We're back with more of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview right after this.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.
The regional round of the playoffs take place this week. This is the playoff edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. I'm Ian Ozan. We're joined now by Coach Lou Vowden from the WWL All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Coach, let's start with two games involving Catholic League teams. Jesuit on the road taking on Turlings. St. Augustine also going to Lafayette. They'll play at St. Thomas More. Two 5A teams facing off against two 4A teams. St. Thomas More and Turlings, no stranger to the playoffs. Turlings, they've been to the semifinals the last couple of years. St. Thomas More, they've won the last two Division II Select State titles. But they're in new territory. Jesuit and St. Aug have been here. They've done that. So with that in mind, who do you think has the advantage in these two games this weekend?
Well, I would assume right now you would have to look at the two Lafayette teams because they're at home. And Jesuit and Aug aren't exactly the two best teams in the Catholic League. Now, you also have Curtis going to Acadiana, so we're going to find out who plays the best football. Is it the New Orleans Catholic League or the Lafayette area?
And then
the other Catholic League team is at home. It's a Rumble. That's the only one that's home.
You mentioned the John Curtis-Acadiana matchup, and these are two teams that typically when they play each other match up well because they run very similar offenses, very much a ground-and-pound attack. Acadiana with their veer attack. John Curtis likes to mix up formations. So this is a game where if we're going to see an upset this week, I wouldn't be surprised if Curtis, considering that they may be overlooked, A, because they're a 19 seed, B, because they finished the regular season with a losing record. This could be an upset victory for John Curtis here if everything goes their way.
This year, Curtis beat Curtis. Every time they turned the football over, they lost. Every time they held on to the football, they won. So that's the key to the game. Can Curtis hold on to the football and not turn the ball over? Especially this game, which will probably be over in record time because both teams could play football with a brick. So there won't be a whole lot of passing. So you're going to have limited possessions. You might have, two or three possessions a half.
Staying in D1 Select, Etna Carr at home this weekend. They're hosting Huntington. Etna Carr, much like the last few weeks of the regular season, should roll easily to victory there. And D1 non-select, Neville is hosting Covington. And was speaking with Matt Fritcher, one of our correspondents on the Prep Football Roundup, and he noted that Covington, when these two teams have met in the playoffs, Covington is 2-0. Do you think Covington can keep that streak alive this week?
Yeah, they're peaking at the right time. They're peaking at the right time. So they're playing really good football. They lost their running back, but they managed to find a way to win. So, right now they're playing very very good football. Some other games. One game in particular, the Chalmation Army going to Boot to take on the Hornville Tigers. Last week, Chalmette won their first road playoff game in 29 years. So they're going to Hornville, and a game that you would think could be a game you might see in the Superdome until Shepherd got hurt, Mandeville and West Monroe.
And that's the game we're going to be at on Friday night, West Monroe having to hit the road to play Mandeville, and we know what that environment is like. West Monroe, no stranger to that environment. They've played in front of big crowds. They've played with tons of hype surrounding a game. For Mandeville, what do they have to do to make sure that they get the victory on their home turf in advance of the quarters?
Run the football and stop the run. That's what they have to do. They have to run the football, stop the run. And they have to win the kicking game, force West Monroe to go a long distance. You can't give them West Monroe team a good field position. Another good game on the North Shore, St. Paul's and Byrd. Byrd's a really good football team out of the Slidell area. That ought to be a heck of a football game.
And Destrehan having to go to Shreveport to play Northwood. Destrehan, they've run the ball effectively the last few weeks, including against Ouachita Parish in the bye district round Friday night. For Destrehan, do you see their string of success continuing?
Yeah, the quarterback's hot. He's got four stud receivers. I don't know a lot about Northwood, but Destrehan's got a total team. They have good kicking. They have a good defense. They're really good on offense. And they're playing good, great again. Their quarterback was down, but then the last few weeks they really turned it on. And they beat a really good Ouachita football team Friday night.
On the Division II side, a bunch of great games across both the select and non-select sides. L'Oranger at Archbishop Shaw, Lake Charles College Prep at JFK, St. Charles Catholic at Madison Prep. We'll get to the E.D. White game a little bit later when we talk to Troy LaBeouf, but Livingston Collegiate at E.D. White. On the non-select side, Cecilia at Lutcher in a battle of the Bulldogs, Iota at Lakeshore, and West Feliciana at Franklinton. These are all games that you'd expect to see later in the playoffs, but just because of how the brackets worked out, we're seeing them in the second round. Do you see any surprises out of any of these matchups, any of these any of the lower seeded teams getting pulling off upsets?
I'm interested in Haynes Estruma, you know, because is Haynes for real? You know, they didn't play a tough schedule, but they ranked high, they had a great season. Are they for real? They had a bye last week. So this will be this might be their first test of the season against Estruma, but they're going to be home. So that's kind of the one I'm kind of interested in. And then Newman against Darbon Woods. That ought to be a pretty good game, but I think Newman has the advantage there with Eli Friend, their really good quarterback.
You jump down to Division III Select. We'll go to Pope John Paul II at Episcopal. Speaking of tests, that'll be a huge test for Pope JP II.
Yeah, those are two good football teams. You know, Pope John Paul started hot, stumbled a little bit late, but then recovered, and then won their last couple of games, won a playoff game. So, and this is new territory for them. They haven't been around, you know, in a position that if they win, they play in Thanksgiving week.
Riverside Academy, number 7 in Division IV Select. They're hosting Hamilton Christian this week, a team that has been their rival over the last few years, considering how competitive they've been in district. St. Martin's Episcopal, they're the number 9 seed in Division IV Select. They have to go to Eunice to play St. Edmund, a huge road test for St. Martin's Episcopal. And we've talked about them a good bit. They have the talent. Will that talent be able to withstand this 3-hour road trip north to beat a St. Edmund's team that's come out of nowhere to be one of the top 8 seeds in their division?
Yeah, I think so, because they have Berry. You know, let the big dog eat. If they stop them and St. Edward's wins, if not, then, you know, St. Martin's is going to go as far as Harlan Berry can take them.
And that's the big question. Can Harlan Berry run over St. Ed's, or will the Blue Jay defense have something or someone who can put a stop to his running ways? We'll find out come Friday night when the regional round of the playoffs roll on across the state of Louisiana. Before you go, you had mentioned earlier in Division II if Haynes Academy would be able to fend off this test that Estruma is going to give them. They have some motivation. We have to congratulate the Haynes Academy volleyball team, the Division III state champion. They won the state title in Lafayette last weekend to take home the volleyball state title. So congratulations to them.
Well, the one thing that I think that helped Haynes was moving the school. They moved the school from a small facility off of Metairie Road to what used to be Grace King High School, which is a much bigger facility. They have more space. They can accept more students. So the future's bright for Haynes Academy.
It certainly is, and people think of it as the, I don't want to say the gifted school, because it's not exactly that. It's for the high-achieving students, though. It's an academic powerhouse, so you don't necessarily think of them for sports. They came back, and you see them making this playoff run in football this year. They're a high seed, a 4 seed, and then in volleyball, they get a 2 seed there. They go on and beat a strong Archbishop Hannon squad in 5 sets to take the Division III state title. This is a school that, like you said, Coach, with this move and now that they have better facilities, they may be a powerhouse both academically and athletically for a long time coming across Jefferson Parish.
And what's interesting is it's the only one on the East Bank. The West Bank has 2. The West Bank has Thomas Jefferson and Patrick Taylor. The East Bank only has 1. So it's kind of like if you took Patrick Taylor's team and combined them with Thomas Jefferson's team, that's what you have at Haynes Academy.
And Haynes Academy on the rise right now. We'll see what they'll be able to do against Estruma this Friday night. He is Coach Lou Vowden from the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Coach, we'll see you in Mandeville Friday night, my friend.
All right, Ian, thank you.
From the New Orleans Metro, we head to the Lafayette Metro, the Acadiana area. Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate joins us. Kevin, let's start with Division I Select. St. Thomas More gets St. Aug. Acadiana gets John Curtis. Turlings gets Jesuit. You have essentially District 4-4A and District 3-5A playing the Catholic League this week. I'll start with STM and Turlings first. These are two teams that are natural 4A squads. They're playing their first year in Division 1 after playing the last year in Division 2. Do you see either of these two teams winning and advancing to the quarterfinals?
Oh, I certainly think it's possible. Now, obviously St. Thomas More is not quite as explosive as they were the last 4 or 5 years, but they can really run the football and they can really play defense. So, I haven't actually seen St. Aug play, and so it's hard to when you're playing teams from outside the area that you haven't seen to really judge them. But, STM's defense is not the kind of defense that most teams can just go right up and move the ball up and down the field on. So, I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup. Turlings, I think their offense is really good. Their offensive line is huge, and they can run the ball on most teams. My question whether they be Jesuit, and if they would happen to be Jesuit and say they would play Acadiana, is can their defensive line hold up against a really physical running game? I think that's the biggest question for Turlings, and we'll see how they do against Jesuit.
Regardless of who wins the Jesuit-Turlings match, they're going to get a physical matchup between the winner of John Curtis and Acadiana. These are two teams that whenever they play each other, they match up well because they're built the same. Physical squads, lots of running. The difference this year, though, is that Caton DeBetta with Acadiana has given the Wrecking Rams a passing game, something that the Wrecking Rams aren't known for. So how does that give Acadiana an advantage over a John Curtis team that likes to run the ball and defensively is one of the better defenses in the New Orleans area?
Well, it just gives them another option if the running game isn't going as great. Now, this is a tricky game for Acadiana just because the advantage that Acadiana and conversely Curtis have had for decades is most teams aren't real good at facing the Veer because it's probably like the only time they're going to face it all year long or one of the very few times, especially in this era of 7-on-7 football where so many teams are running spread offenses. So that advantage is kind of gone. I'm not saying Acadiana hasn't had a better season than Curtis because they certainly have, but the advantage that they have on most teams is kind of gone. So that's where that passing game you're talking about could play into it because probably Curtis will do a better job of defending from a tactical standpoint, from a scheme standpoint, DeVere, than most teams Acadiana faces, and that passing game could give him a little bit of edge there.
Division I non-select, Jess Curtis and Southside getting Walker in a 6-22 matchup. Jess Curtis in his first year at Southside has done a marvelous job of taking this team to the next level. What do you think is the ceiling for the Sharks squad?
Well, I think they're in good position. And, again, they're not, they're just winning football the old-fashioned way. I mean, they run the football. They play good enough, certainly good enough defense. And they're not quite at playing at Acadiana's level, but they're just one level below that. So I kind of like their chances.
Division II non-select, you have three big games here. Iota Lakeshore, Brent Endest facing a team that he's familiar with from his time coaching in the Acadiana area in an Iota Bulldog squad. You have the Battle of the Bulldogs, Cecilia at Lutcher, and maybe the most intriguing game on the Acadiana slate this week, number 14 Opelousas, the defending champion, taking on number 3 Jennings. Let's start with that one. OHS Jennings, what do you expect from this one?
Well, both. It's just a matter of Jennings can handle Opelousas' physicality because Jennings, it's another team that they like to run the football. They're very comfortable with ball control and all that stuff that Opelousas likes to do. I just kind of feel like Opelousas would be a hair too physical and just a hair too athletic for Jennings. The Cecilia Lutcher matchup. Cecilia is, they've given up points at times this year, like most defenses are in the state. But they are a tough out offensively. Obviously, they have some elite players from Stewart to Diesel and the young Kale running back. He had 3 touchdowns and about 100 yards last week. So they are loaded on offense. And so Lutcher's defense has got its hands full. But, I agree with you. I think all those matchups are really tough. Iota's I think they're good. I think, you know, they struggle if they're face a team that's overly athletic. I don't think that Lakeshore is like an overly athletic team. And so I think that should be a good match. I think you're right. I think these matchups are on paper are really good in that at that level.
We're remiss in not mentioning Northwest. They play at Plaquemine. If Northwest wins and OHS beats Jennings, then you'll have an All-St. Landry matchup next week in the quarterfinals between the Opelousas Tigers and the Northwest Raiders. So that's something that we'll be looking to see if it comes if it becomes reality. In Division III Select and All-Acadiana matchup, Lafayette Christian, Notre Dame, this is a district rivalry that began this year. Two teams that know each other. They played a close game a few weeks back. Do you see Notre Dame winning again, or does LCA get the edge this time?
I don't know. I think that's interesting. You know, Notre Dame's defense is not as stifling as it's been for most of Coach Cook's era there. I think LCA is a team that's improving. I mean, it's so hard to judge. You know, they played Beekman last week. I was at that game. It was 72-0. I mean, it was not what I would call a football game. But you know, I do think that they, you know, they're doing a lot of things well. They're pretty confident. They've got a big play cornerback. They can, you know, I expect there to be a lot of points scored in this game like there was the last time, and those kind of matchups normally come down to turnovers.
Elsewhere in Division III Select, Catholic and New Iberia hosting Northlake Christian. Moving on to Division III Non-Select, Lauraville at Erath, Pine at Kaplan. Kaplan and Erath are maybe two of the best teams in the Acadiana area, pound for pound, and they have an opportunity to reach the quarterfinals. Kaplan, Tank Lotief, no stranger to the quarterfinals. Erath, though, it's been a while since they've been out of the second round. Can they get over the hump and beat Lauraville?
Well, Lauraville, we talked about last week, team that wasn't playing well early, they're playing much better now. I think the fact, you know, when you're a program that, you know, was 2-8 last year and hasn't had a lot of postseason success over the years, you know, you can kind of, the moment could be too big, but the fact that they're playing a very familiar team in Lauraville from the area, I think that will calm them down. Like if you're playing someone who's the same football team, but from 3 or 4 hours away, you don't know anything about them, I think there's more uncertainty there. So I like the matchup for Erath in that they're playing someone familiar, but Lauraville is playing better. So they're going to have to, you know, not turn over the football. I think straight up probably Erath has a little bit of an edge. They've been much more consistent over the year, but it's a fun matchup for our area for sure.
And Division IV, first on the Select side, Westminster gets Vermilion Catholic in a 116 matchup. St. Edmund, number 8, gets number 9 St. Martin's Episcopal. We'll come back to them in a second. Opelousas Catholic, the 15 seed, gets number 2 Ascension Catholic. And in the non-Select side, you have Welsh getting a bye because Faraday's been kicked out of the playoffs. And then towards the middle of the bracket, number 4 Generate gets Grand Lake. Of these matches on the Division IV side, which one do you like the best?
I think I'm anxious to see what St. Ed's is going to do. I mean, I think they, you know, I don't know, a great, obviously St. Martin's is talented at running back, and St. Ed's also has a running back who's done very well. But they've added a little bit of a passing game, kind of like we were mentioning earlier with Acadiana. You know, if you look at their quarterback stats, Kane West, it's unbelievable. He hasn't thrown that many passes, but he's got a ton of touchdowns. And so, you know, that goes kind of like a team that's normally run. And when you do throw, especially defenses that aren't, you know, overly talented at that level, you can get a lot of big plays. I mean, they got receivers averaging 30-something yards a catch. So we'll see how St. Martin's secondary handles. St. Ed's doesn't throw a lot, but when they throw, it's normally very effective.
It'll be interesting to see how St. Ed's defense handles Harlan Berry, the star running back for St. Martin's Episcopal. He is small, but boy, is he fast, athletic, and shifty. He may be the best player St. Ed's has seen all year.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it all. And again, they typically play high-scoring games, so I wouldn't put a lot of money on them handling him very well.
He is Kevin Foote from the Acadiana Advocate giving us a preview of this week's games in the Acadiana area. Kevin, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right. Thank you, sir.
The regional round of the LHSA playoffs and the Pelican State Prep football preview rolls on. We'll go to Lake Charles next after this, so stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The regional round edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview rolls on as we now go to Lake Charles, Southwest Louisiana. Chasten Tavares with 92.9 The Lake joins us. And Chasten, let's give Lake Charles College Prep their just propers, considering the fact that this is a team we talked about a little bit throughout the year, but not all that much. They're a number 9 seed in the playoffs, Division II select. They absolutely run over McKinley, 42-0. And this week, they come to New Orleans to take on a tough John F. Kennedy squad in an 8-9 matchup. Lake Charles College Prep may be the best team we've not spoken about at length this season. What do they have, in your opinion, that'll allow them to beat JFK this Friday night?
Yeah, look, and I think I've mentioned this on a couple of times when we visited this year. Look, this is a team in Lake Charles College Prep who played a tough non-district schedule. They started with Westgate, then they took on Barb, then they took on Opelousas. It's Mansfield, Catholic New Iberia, and then it's at Jennings, you know, and then it's through the rest of the district slate, obviously. But look, this is a team who started off with a ton of really good teams, and they struggled a little bit out the gate, obviously, as most teams would against teams of that caliber. And this is a team who's hitting its stride late. Look, they've got a guy in Dylan Vidal who is thrown for 2,500 yards on the year. They've got, you know, a pair of 800-900 yard receivers. Like, they can hit you through the air and on the ground as well. They got a couple of backs with a couple hundred yards with Pete and Botley. They can hit you both on the ground and through the air. And defensively, it seems like they're starting to kind of find their stride, giving up 6, 12, 9, and 13 points over and 0 points, obviously, over their last couple of games. So it's a team that that's probably the most dangerous 9 seed in the entire playoffs.
Another team in Division II select that we've discussed at length throughout the season, I feel like, is Leesville. They're the 7 seed. They host Loyola Prep this week for the Wampus Cats. There's a tough road in front of them to get to New Orleans in the Superdome. We know that, but this team's certainly capable of beating not only Loyola Prep, but everybody else who's going to come their way. And here's the other part. The winner of this game will get a free ride into the quarterfinals.
Yeah, look, when you've got Xavier Ford, you don't even need a free ride, because he is your free ride about just about any game you play in. But look, the Wampus Cats, I talked to Coach Causey last week. They don't have me doing their games, so they should go undefeated, because when I do their games, they're 0-2 this year. Their only 2 losses of the year were when I did their games, so they should be pretty good. I told Coach Causey, he doesn't have to worry about me coming to do their games. I'm obviously their jinx, their black cat, whatever you want to call it. But look, when you have Xavier Ford on your team, I mean, look, that's a pretty good start, and they can hit you through the air as well. And yeah, you mentioned it. They could be the beneficiary of the U-High situation and get a little bit of an easier matchup, not necessarily a pass, but certainly an easier game, and even a home game in the playoffs, in the quarterfinals.
And for Leesville, that would be huge. This is a city or a community that has a huge football following, a huge football tradition. It would certainly mean the world to them to get one step closer to the Superdome. Iowa, number 5 seed in Division II non-select. They host Wassmann this week. 5-21 matchup. Don't let those numbers fool you, though. This will be a barn burner.
Yeah, well, look, Iowa, they are feels like they've hit their sweet. You know, we've said the last couple of teams, you know, hitting their stride the last couple of weeks. Iowa is a team who has been a unit all year long. I mean, they started off the year beating Jennings, and we know what Jennings is now, obviously. Their only loss, they've still been lost to a team in the confines of the state of Louisiana. Their only loss coming to a Texas squad. Look, they're averaging 40 some odd points a game, giving up less than 20 points a game. That's a team who's got a ton of athletes all over the field. And yeah, you mentioned it. You know, this is You know, not a team that, you know, in the matchup that they've got in Wasserman. This is a team they've already played. Look, the first two rounds of the year for Iowa, they took on LaGrange last week, who's a district opponent they had taken on 2 weeks prior. And then Wasserman, you know, Iowa beat 41-18 in the fourth week of the year. And I think Coach Johns will be the first to tell you he absolutely hates rematches. And, you know, anytime you have to play a team twice. So that could make things interesting. I do think Iowa gets to the quarters, though.
Speaking of Jennings, they're the number three seed. They're hosting the reigning defending Division II non-select state champion Opelousas. OHS, a 14 seed this year. Much like last year, they're coming in as a relatively low seed, and we saw what they did last year as a low seed. They won it all. This could be an upset special brewing, though with that said, this is a Jennings squad that, if there's anybody who's going to defeat the reigning state champion, Jennings is it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Look, this is probably one of the most intriguing matchups in the entire state. Jennings and Opelousas. Zeno has obviously ran for, you know, over 1,400 yards. He is Jennings, and they can do it defensively as well, giving up less than 15 points a game. They're scoring at, you know, a high clip of like 42 points a game. I think they've given up less than 20 points combined in their last five matchups. So, you know, this is a Jennings team who's a lot of fun, but obviously we know what Opelousas can do, and that's going to be one of the, if not the top game in the state this week.
Kinder gets Westlake in an all Southwest Louisiana matchup. Kinder, the number four seed. Westlake, the number 13 seed. What do you expect from that one?
Yeah, look, this is actually the matchup we're going to go do this week. I'm extremely excited about it. First time we've gotten to see Kinder on our Game of the Week stretch this year. Look, Kinder's got a couple of guys they can hit you with, whether it's Logan LaBeouf out of the backfield. He's rushed for, you know, over 1,100 yards. Isaiah Thomas, the quarterback. That kid is special. You know, he's thrown for 1,600 yards and, you know, a bevy of touchdowns. Like, that guy is pretty darn unbelievable, just a youngster as well. They're averaging 35 points a game, you know, giving up less than 20. Kinder's a pretty good squad. I'll be interested to see how they match up with Westlake. I believe they scrimmaged early on, you know, during the summer before the season got underway. And to my understanding, you know, it was all Kinder. You know, they kind of bullied Westlake a little bit in that matchup, but Westlake is a team that they score at a high clip, so it'll be interesting to watch that Westlake offense take on that Kinder defense.
And lastly, on the Division IV side of things, on the select bracket, number 10 Hamilton Christian at number 7 Riverside Academy, number 11 Elton at number 6 Logansport. These are two games that, just based on what we know about Logansport, what we know about Riverside Academy, these should be runaway games. But it is the playoffs. Anything can happen. Who do you think either of these two teams, in Hamilton Christian or Elton, can pull off the upset?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. That Logansport, you know, matchup is obviously a tough one for, I think, Elton. You know, Logansport with some lower numbers than they're normally used to. We'll see. Hamilton Christian, though, absolutely has a shot to take down Riverside Academy. I don't know if you've seen the video, if you guys have seen the video that we posted. I posted on, you know, social media over the weekend of Javon Vidal. Just go watch the video of Javon Vidal on Facebook or Instagram on my socials, and you'll see that you know that, you know, Javon Vidal and Hamilton Christian have a chance in just about any game they play. That is probably, in my opinion, one of, if not the best athlete in the entire state of Louisiana. He's pretty darn impressive, and he can carry that Hamilton Christian team to play against anybody. He's made pretty much every defense in the entire state that they've played on their entire schedule look like a bunch of buffoons.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Grand Lake in Cameron Parish. They get number 4 Generette this week, that game in Generette in Iberia Parish. Chasten Tavares with 92.9 The Lake, giving us the lay of the land in the Lake Charles area. Chasten, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the quarters.
There it is. Appreciate you, brother. You have some fun with some football.
From Lake Charles, we go down the bayou into the river parishes. Troy LaBeouf, our river and bayou area correspondent, joining us. And a couple of these games we've talked about already, either with Coach Lou Valden or with Chasten just a little while ago. There's a lot of overlap between New Orleans and the river parishes in Southwest Louisiana and the river parishes. One of those games is Riverside and Hamilton Christian. The winner of that game is going to get the Ascension Catholic and Opelousas Catholic winner. Riverside more than likely is going to run away with their game. Ascension Catholic OC is an intriguing matchup, and these are two teams that are relatively familiar with each other because they've played each other so often in the playoffs over the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a team that have played each other 4 times in the last 2 years, 2 times, 3 times in the regular season, 1 time in the playoffs, and Ascension Catholics come out on top of those. Some of them were really close games. So, you know, the old adage of you get a chance to continue to play somebody that you feel like you're close with, you're going to eventually knock the door down. That's got to be what the Opelousas Catholic coaching staff is telling those guys. So I think the one X factor is the person that Opelousas Catholic has really had a tough time dealing with over the last couple of years, and that is Chad Elzey, the running back from Ascension Catholic. He went for 450 yards and 9 touchdowns in that 77-43 win last year. So I would assume if I'm coaching at Opelousas Catholic, my game plan defensively is we're gonna bring as many people in the box as we can to try to stop Chad Elzey, force Ascension Catholic to throw the football. But again, I think that was tried the last couple of years, and Elzey will still be able to break loose. So I think this one comes down to which defense is better. I think Ascension Catholic's defense is fantastic. The highest point total they've given up is 21 points this year, and that was in that game to Dunham that they lost 21-18. If you look at Opelousas Catholic first-round game, really, and they probably should have lost the game. You know, they end up winning it 34-33. They trailed that game 27-7 at the half, and it looks like Westminster Lafayette kind of did some things differently in the second half, which was kind of a head-scratcher. It seemed like they would have stayed with their game plan. I think they could have put them away. But all that being said, Opelousas Catholic's got a really good quarterback, got some good receivers, an outstanding receiver in Tezano. He's got 1,000 yards. It's going to come down to what defense plays better in this game. The Bulldogs are at home, so it should be a great matchup with the winner getting Riverside. Like you said, I think Riverside will roll in their matchup.
Staying in Division IV, select a rematch of Week 10 in the regional round. Number 3, Covenant, and number 14, Central Catholic of Morgan City. It was close in Week 10. You expect this one to be even closer in the regional?
Yeah, you know, Covenant's having a fantastic season, 10-0 in the season. Coach Jesse Turner should be considered for Coach of the Year in Single A. What he's done to turn the program around. I mean, they were not a bad program, but they were a program just hovering around 500, maybe a little bit below 500. Barely making the playoffs. Now they're knocking on a quarterfinals if they can win this week. That game was played at Central Catholic in Week 10. Covenant kind of pulled away late. Central Catholic turned the football over, I believe, 5 or 6 times in the game. They're going to have to really cut down on that. The turnovers are going to be big. Covenant's got a little bit of the speed factor, but I do believe this is going to be a little bit closer. Central Catholic's able to go back and look at the tape. They had a tougher than I thought first-round game. They were able to beat Lincoln Prep 14-0, but the good thing about it, I think the coaches at Central Catholic will be excited about, they forced 7 turnovers in that game. So this is going to be a really good matchup with the rematch of Week 10 with Covenant and Central Catholic.
Another rematch that we'll see in the playoffs, this one in Division III non-select. District rivals, St. James and Donaldsonville playing each other. As we mentioned, district rivals, they played earlier this year. St. James won that matchup. Does Donaldsonville have what it takes to pull off an upset here? Do you think St. James wins the second in a row?
I think St. James is a better football team, but I will say this. Coach Darnell Lee and the Tigers, they've improved as the season has went along. They finished it. They're on a 3-game winning streak right now. They got a little confidence, a little swag to them. Coach Lee and his staff do a great job. They settled in a quarterback. You know, they went from a veteran quarterback, a guy that played for them last year a little bit, and Donald Brown. They moved him out to the slot. They felt like it was time to give a freshman a chance. Now, the freshman, 6'4", 220 pounds, in Skylar Garrison. He had a really nice game against Baker. He threw for a couple of touchdowns. He did have a pick, I believe, in the game. So that can be expected from a young quarterback. But St. James, to me, St. James is a year away, and what they've done is they became the number one seed. I mean, they have talent all over the field. They have so this is, again, a battle of freshman quarterbacks. They have a freshman quarterback in St. James as well. I think this one comes down to defense. I think St. James' defense is a little bit better. The special teams are a little better. And, man, I know you've had a chance to go to St. James. That is a very difficult place to play. The trains are going to be rolling and the air horns are going to be rolling, and the St. James Wildcats, I do believe they do advance, but Donaldsonville's had a really good year.
West St. John and D4 non-select will play Mangum in a 10-7 matchup. You think this one has the makings of an upset?
I do. You know, for lack of better terms, it's like Mangum played with their food a little bit in their first round game. They were kind of letting East Iberville hang around, and East Iberville's had a nice season, but I was looking at scores. I do think Mangum is vulnerable in this spot. And I could be completely wrong. The one thing West St. John coach Darren Thomas is going to have to guard against, they're going to have to make a long trip, Ian. That's a long ways to get to Mangum. How do they manage that? Can they manage that long trip and just make it a regular game? Don't turn it into something that it's not. But they rolled in the first round, West St. John, the Rams. I don't know if the Rams are completely back, like, you know, in the heydays when they were going to the Dome and going to the quarters and the semis every year. But I do think they've taken some steps in the right direction. Don't be surprised if West St. John doesn't pull the upset.
Let's move to Division Two. First in the select side, E.D. White, Vandy, both coming off of byes. You expect them to roll easily in their matchups this week?
I do. I think both of them will take care of business. The biggest message by both coaching staffs is we're at Vanderbilt. We're not talking about E.D. White. And if we're at E.D. White, we're not talking about Vanderbilt. That's going to come. It's going to come the following week. And that's going to set up for a big-time matchup that you and I should be able to talk about next week. I think they both advance. And the day after Turkey Day, you're going to have a big-time atmosphere. They played at Vandy early in the season. E.D. White won that game. But this one's going to be in Thibodeau, and it's going to be a packed stadium. We can look ahead. They can't. And I do think both teams will win and set up just a huge quarterfinal matchup.
E.D. White, by the way, is playing Livingston Collegiate, Vanderbilt, playing Archbishop Hannon this week. Staying in Division II to the non-select side, the Bulldog Battle. Cecilia at Lutcher, 18 versus number 2. Cecilia put up 50 points on Pearl River. That game was a track meet until the very end when Pearl River ran out of steam and Cecilia ran away with it late in the second half. These are two teams that are battle-tested, two teams that are familiar with going to the Superdome. Cecilia was there last year. They fell just short. Lutcher, just a couple years removed from a state title. So for you, what do you expect out of this game? Does Lutcher keep its dominant force going, or does Cecilia pull off an upset here?
Yeah, this is going to be – I'd love to be at this one. I mean, at the Dog Yard, it'll be packed. Cecilia's coming out with a ton of confidence. They're starting to get their injured players back. I watched a good bit of that game on Friday night. I had an off night for the first time ever. Got to watch a bunch. I had four TVs going on and devices. And I tell you what, Diesel Solari looks healthy, and he'll be ready. But Lutcher will be ready. I promise you. The Dog Yard, they'll be stoked. They'll have the folks out there. I know Cecilia will bring a nice crowd. You're from that area. You know how they love and they follow football. But this is not the biggest thing I think Lutcher's coaches need to guard against is their players can't feel sorry for themselves. Oh, man, look at this matchup we got to play in the second round. This is not fair. We're the number 2 seed. Ascension Catholic's thinking the same thing. Why do we have to play such a good opponent in only the second round? So the mindset is, hey, I think Lutcher's a better football team, but we're going to see a good one in this one. This is going to be must-watch TV. And I do think Lutcher comes out of it, but I think Cecilia will give them everything they want.
I think so, too. This will be a closer than expected game for some people. This is going to be a battle, and if you're anywhere in the area, if you're near Lutcher, this is a game you absolutely have to go to. Let's move on to Division One. Destrehan getting West Monroe this week. The Wildcats, they were healthy. They got a great game against Ouachita Parish. All right, check that. They're going to Shreveport. They're playing at Northwood Shreveport this week, is Destrehan. So for the Wildcats, what do they have to do to keep their momentum going?
Just continue playing good football. I mean, as simple as that. They've gotten healthy finally. Jackson Arnold's got his footing under him, the quarterback. Had four touchdowns this past week. Defense looks fantastic. Look, that was a tough matchup. Well, I know you talked to your correspondents up there. I was able to listen to it on the when we put it out there. And Ouachita Parish has got a ton of really good athletes. They got two defensive tackles that are going to play on Saturdays. And Destrehan, to me, handled it as good as expected. 23 seed Ouachita Parish, that's not a true seed for that team. You saw the four teams that they lost to, and they were all top seeds in different divisions. As far as football is concerned in Louisiana high school football. So I do think Destrehan feels good about where they are. They do have to travel. They got to go all the way up to Shreveport. This is another long trip like we talked with West St. John and Mangum. How do they handle that? They should be okay. They've done this before. I think Marcus Scott and Destrehan will be a double-digit seed, number 10, heading to the quarterfinals.
And lastly, Chalmette pulling off one upset against a River area team. They beat Terrebonne 28-17, or should say against a Bayou area team, beating Terrebonne 20-17. Now they have to face a River Parish team in Hanville this week. Does Chalmette pull off another upset here?
That was a great game. I mean, if you look at what Chalmette did, Terrebonne, to me, is more talented. They just didn't play well. I listened to Coach give his Coach Tyler Lewis from Terrebonne talk about, you know, the disappointment and not being able to advance. But he's built a nice program over there. But I think, you know, Hanville, again, use the term, kind of play with their food a little bit against HL Bourgeois, kind of let them hang around. Sterling Washington does a great job at HL. The 49-39, you had to over in that one, you were good. But I do think Hanville, they kind of get over those first-round jitters. You know, they hadn't really done much in the last couple of years until Greg Boyne has come over, who actually he came over from Destrehan and has taken over to Hanville. I like Hanville to advance, and obviously we know what they're looking at coming up in the potential next round. So you're going to be looking at the number one seed.
He is Troy LaBeouf, our River and Bayou area correspondent. Troy, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the quarterfinals.
No, I look forward to it, Ian.
And we'll be back with more of the Pelican State Prep football preview after this. We'll go to Shreveport next. We're back on the regional playoff edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Let's go to Northwest Louisiana, the Shreveport area. Tim Fletcher from KWKH 1130 The Tiger joining us. Tim, a good week overall in the bi-district round for Northwest Louisiana. CE Burt, they advance. This week they'll play number 7 St. Paul's. Evangel with an upset in yet another shootout. They'll get Alexandria this week, the number 2 seed in Division 1 select. Huntington, even with the victory, the 17 seed will get number 1 Edna Carr. So when you look at the teams in that part of the state, a lot of success, and some of that success should carry over into the quarterfinal round after this week, correct?
You would think so. I think that there are some schools around here that I believe are going to be tough outs for, you know, whomever they play. And one of the things that we're looking forward to is like these teams that had to buy, you know. Around here, of course, that includes Airline and Haynesville and Calvary in the non-select and select side. You know, that week of rust versus the week of rest, which one's better off for you, you know? So we will find out, but I think it's pretty exciting. You know, like you mentioned, that Huntington was able to go down south and beat Hammond 34-6, beat him convincingly, but that's going to be a tough one now. They have to go to Edna Carr in the select Division I. That's no picnic whatsoever, but as Stephen Dennis, the head coach for Huntington, said, we're still practicing. Other teams had to put up their equipment. We're still playing and still practicing, so we feel pretty good about that. Bird pitched a shutout against Woodlawn of Baton Rouge, 20-0, and they also got their fullback back. And in the Bird offense, the fullback is a very key part of it. But one of the neat things about Bird this year, Ian, is they have 5 or 6 kids they rotate in at fullback and their wingback position. And so there's always fresh legs available. And will that make a difference for Bird as they have to travel down south to take on St. Paul's? I think that's in the Covington area, isn't it?
Correct.
Is that where St. Paul's is?
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's a long road trip for Bird, but has St. Paul's faced anybody's offense that is anything like Bird's? That's the thing that you have to wonder about. And also in that select Division I, Evangel's big win over Captain Shreve to get revenge from the October meeting where it went to overtime, the 77-76 game where Peyton pops Houston, set the national high school record with 817 yards passing. Evangel lost that game, but they got the revenge in the game that matters more, the playoff game, and their reward is undefeated Alexandria Senior High. Former Evangel Eagle Thomas Bachman, the head coach at Ash, is one of the greatest high school receivers this state has ever seen, and he's got his Ash Trojans welcoming his old school in Evangel, and it's going to be tough, but Evangel's 4 of their 5 losses this year were one-score games. I mean, they were right there in the thick of it with everybody they played. So I would expect them to give Alexandria High School a pretty decent game. But I wonder, after all the dust settles and the select Division I model, how many of our schools will still be standing. I think that we'd be happy with all 3, obviously. 2 out of 3 seems like a pretty good dream. Most likely, looking at 1 team more than likely making it out of here in Northwest Louisiana in the next round.
based on the teams that are still left, who do you think has the best chance of pulling off an upset this week of the low seeds from your region?
Low seeds in our region. Even though, well, golly, geez, North DeSoto is a 7 seed, and I know they've got Bell Chase coming up here, and so it's not necessarily an upset, but I think North DeSoto as a 7 seed is going to be a little sneaky. They've got back Cole Corey, who was their top wide receiver, who was out with a knee injury since week 2. He is a full go now. He actually had 4 grabs and a touchdown in the week 1 or the first round playoff win over district foe Woodlawn, who had to just travel from the middle of Shreveport over to Stonewall. So it was a quick trip, but North DeSoto looked good, and Cole Corey is a big, big-time receiver. And so that's going to be interesting. I think North DeSoto is going to cause some problems. Ooh, boy. You know, Northwood as a 10 seed, getting Destrehan coming up here is going to be a pretty interesting game. But once again, that's Northwood is seeded higher, so they are supposed to win. Loyola going to Leesville in Select Division II. Loyola's got a very, very tough team. They play, they are just a sound, well-coached football team that hits hard and runs the ball well, and now they've got a very nice situation with their quarterback, Bryce Restovich, a sophomore. He's got a target in Ben Brewer, who has become quite the go-to guy. 8, 9, 10 catches is the norm. They run the ball very well, so Loyola's got a very good chance, I think, to go into Leesville and sneak away with a win there. But for the most part, I think that you're going to see the teams that are supposed to win are supposed to win, and the teams that aren't supposed to win aren't supposed to win for a reason. And that's unfortunate going to be the case for a lot of our schools here, I have a feeling. But the typical schools, Hainesville's going to win, I'm very, very certain. Calvary, I feel very good about. And I do feel good about North DeSoto. And I think Airline is going to have more than what Westgate can handle. And Byrd on the road, that's going to be fun. I am anxious to see how St. Paul's handles that Byrd offense with only 1 week to get ready for it. Be ready that you're not ready.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun game to watch, and that's one where, flip a coin, we got to see St. Paul's a couple weeks ago, and they're pretty stout, but I don't think they faced an air raid offense that C.E. Byrd brings to the table. And we saw this last week with the Evangel game. These teams in the Shreveport area putting up 40, 50 points regularly every week. I don't know that St. Paul's going to be ready for that.
Yeah, and the best thing for Byrd is not only do they have the ability to put up some points like that, but they pitched a shutout last week. I don't care who you're going up against. It was Woodlawn or Baton Rouge. But you shut out somebody, that's saying something for 48 minutes of a decent football team. And so their defense is really, really coming around. And so that's one that Byrd has got a lot of playoff experience. His coaching staff has got a ton of playoff experience. So that is one where I'm kind of looking at as a sneaky, would not shock me at all if Byrd advances in that game.
He is Tim Fletcher from now, go ahead, Tim. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Huntington going down to Edna Carr winning. Now, that would be a shock. And not because Huntington is anything that should be shocking. It's just that Edna Carr, as you are well aware, who's going to beat those guys, you know?
Edna Carr is Edna Carr, enough said.
Right. Now that's who they are every year, and that's what people have got to face. And, you know, St. Thomas More, St. Aug, who gets them the next round, if that's the case, good luck with that. Who's after that? Rummel, Catholic, you know, hadn't we already seen some of this stuff? And so it will be very interesting if anyone can slow those guys down on that side of the bracket.
Yeah, that Division I select bracket as a whole is a murderer's row.
Whoever gets through
will have won that championship outright, and deservedly so.
Yeah, I completely agree. Cannot agree any more than that.
He is Tim Fletcher from KWKH, 1130 The Tiger in Shreveport. Tim, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll do it next week for the quarters.
Sounds good to me, buddy.
And from Shreveport, we move to Alexandria in central Louisiana. Lamar Gafford from SinLawPreps.com joins us. The big game in your area this week, Alexandria, the Trojans, hosting Evangel. This is a big matchup if for several reasons. One, you have a former dynasty in Evangel coming to Alexandria, a team that's trying to put together a new school dynasty, but also Thomas Bachman, his history with Evangel, now the head coach at Alexandria, going to be some emotional ties here, but also some drama surrounding the game itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you know, ironically, you know, one of the teams that actually got a chance to watch the Alexandria Neville game was Evangel. And, of course, he has a brother that's on the staff as well. And, you know, of course, his brother was on the staff. And, of course, you had former John Bachman Sr., who used to be, you know, one of the coaches over there at Evangel. And, of course, you know, you have Dennis Dunn and all that good stuff. So it's going to be an emotional time, obviously, I feel like, here for Coach Bachman and everything. But, you know, he's kind of taking it, once again, is this one game at a time, you know, just putting the ball down and everything.
Hold on, Lamar. I lost you for a second. Go ahead and restart that entire sentence.
Getting the championship. But also,
hey, Lamar.
The matchup is...
Lamar, yeah. I lost you for about a good 20 seconds. Can you go ahead and restart that thought?
Okay, cool.
3, 2.
Okay, yeah. So it should be a pretty – it's going to be an emotional game, obviously, for Coach Bachman and everything because, you know, not just only that he used to play there, but now, you know, his brother coaches over there. And so that's going to be an interesting thing. And, you know, getting the chance to see them, I think they were one of the teams that actually were watching – the Alexandria Neville game in week 10. So it was pretty interesting there. And of course, you know, you have, you know, his dad used to coach over there. John Bachman Sr. used to coach over there. And of course, you know, being raised up by Coach Dunn and everything else like that. So it's going to be interesting, but you know, he's probably going to take it one day at a time. I know that I have my history with those guys, but that's one of those teams I'm going to have to go through in order to just to get to the state championship. And the other good thing about this matchup is, too, that both teams have two very good sophomore quarterbacks. Carson Sellers over there with Ash, and then, of course, with Evangel, we all know what Pop Houston can do. And so we're going to see pretty much, hopefully, the first of many, many matchups between those two guys. And that's going to be an exciting game for sure.
One team in the Central Louisiana area that we've not talked about this year is Montgomery. They're number 16 seed. They're in Grant Parish. If you blink, you miss it when you're driving through there. They're at number one Haynesville this week. Montgomery's a power in softball. They're a power in some of the other smaller sports. Football is not a sport you associate with them, but they're in the regionals, and they play a number one Haynesville squad. I know on paper Haynesville should win this one easily, but Montgomery has some talent here, and they very well could give Haynesville a fight.
Yeah, absolutely. Mason Jordan is one of the guys at quarterback to definitely watch for. This is a guy that can really pass the ball very well. You know, he's had a couple of games where he's had about 250 yards and also 300 yards and has really reeled this team to victories. One game that they had in particular was with against St. Mary's where he led them to a couple of touchdowns in order for them to try to come back in a ball game where they were pretty much in their rights of possibly losing that ball game. You also got Jacorian Shepherd. He's another guy that they lean on. So, you know, this Montgomery team does have a lot of talent. Now, yes, Haynesville's Haynesville. I feel like that's Haynesville has a good chance of possibly going all the way down to the Dome. But, you know, this Montgomery team, they're going to put up a fight there.
And LaSalle Parish, just off to the north and east from there, you have Gina. They're in the playoffs, and Gina trying to make it to the quarterfinals. This week they get Port Allen, a 7-23 matchup. What do you expect from that one?
Yeah, I expect another hard-fought game for Gina. And again, I think this is at the point right now that they know they're not going to take any of these teams lightly either. And, you know, the way that I've been, you know, I've really liked what they've been doing here has been when they bounce back off of losses, they get back focused. They get back razor-sharp focused and everything. And they have definitely done that since that Bunky game. And they basically have taken care of you know, Caldwell twice, their rival, and really took care of them. And then, of course, with Buckeye in week 10, sandwiched in between. So, you know, I think Port Allen, that's going to be still a good matchup here for them to just to keep on going. And so as long as they can just continue to do that, I think
once again, they get back to Thanksgiving football, and that's been one of the things here that Gina has been accustomed to lately. And can't count out Bunky. I mean, you can't count them out either because, you know, they have an interesting game against A-Meet too, which I feel like outside of that Ash Evangel game, I think that's also another intriguing matchup too between with Bunky here trying to get to the quarterfinals and now having to face against an established program that A-Meet has. And I think it's going to be a toss-up of a matchup there because both teams have speed. Both teams have good athletes. It's just going to be all in a matter of who wants it more once we get down to playing on Thanksgiving. And I know for Bunky, it's been a good while here. And I know for A-Meet, they were in it last year. They've, of course, they won a couple of championships the last few years and everything. So I think that's going to be also a pretty good matchup as well.
He is Lamar Gafford from CentralIPreps.com. Lamar, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week for the quarters.
Appreciate you as well. Have a good one.
And we'll be back to wrap up the Pelican State Prep Football Preview Regional Playoff Edition with some final thoughts right after this. We're back on the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Before we go, a few thoughts about the playoffs and the split. Last weekend, the LHSAA crowned its 2024 volleyball state champions. Of the five titleists, three were private schools and two were public schools. In fact, a public school reached the championship game in each of the three largest divisions. Slidell High bested Dominican in four sets in the Division I final. In Division III, Haynes etched out a five-set victory to beat top-seeded Archbishop Hannon for the title. And in Division II, a Ben Franklin squad overcame an off-season coaching change to claim runner-up honors. If volleyball can have combined playoffs and see public schools succeed against some of the traditional private school powers that have long dominated the sport, so can football and basketball and baseball and softball. Since the 2022 reconfiguration of the split to bring more public schools into the select category, we've seen public school squads compete and beat private schools in the postseason. A handful have reached the semifinals and finals in each of those sports, with a few of those public schools winning select state titles over their private school counterparts, especially in basketball. The fact is, the playoffs should show us who the best of the best in Louisiana are, regardless if a school is public or private, charter or traditional, open enrollment or zone-based enrollment. The athletes deserve an opportunity to play the best of the best, and the only way to do so is to put the band back together. This year, Slidell and Haynes Academy volleyball team showed us that public schools can compete and beat the best private schools in the state. Maybe that will be the inspiration the LHSAA's principals need to vote to end the split and reunify the playoffs in football and the three other major sports. This week, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup will be live from Mandeville High School as the Skippers host West Monroe. We'll be live starting at 7 o'clock until 10:30 on WWL-FM 105.3, WWL.com, and the Odyssey app. That's it for the regional playoff edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview. Thanks to our correspondents, Gene Ponte, Robin Fambro, Coach Lou Valden, Kevin Foote, Chasen Tavares, Troy LaBeouf, Tim Fletcher, and Lamar Gafford. I'm Ian Ozan. We'll see you next week for the quarterfinal edition of the Pelican State Prep Football Preview.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.